We start a new Mishnah today. On Daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, approximately 15 lines down from the top of the Amud. Now, on Shabbos, as we've said over and over again, we're not permitted to go without an Erev Tchumen more than 2,000 Amma from that spot where a person is located at the beginning of Shabbos. Again, the entire city is called one area, so that will give him 2,000 Amma from the outer boundary of the city. And if on Erev Shabbos he leaves the city, he gets to a point which is far away from the city, and he puts down Mazon Shtei Sudos, his Koveya, his Shvisa in that area, and even though he goes back to his city before Shabbos, and by Bein HaShemoshes he's back at home, nevertheless, it's considered as if he was Koveya Shvisa in that place outside the city, because he left Mazon Shtei Sudos at that point, and therefore he's allowed with this Erev to walk another 2,000 Amma in each direction from wherever he left the Erev. That's called Erev Tchumen. But what happens in a case where he puts down an Erev and that's not where he wants to be Kona Shvisa? It could be valid, but only if the following condition is met. He left it in a place where he could have access to it on Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemoshes. So let's say, we'll, for argument's sake, we'll say that he left his Erev at point X, and he is now located on Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemoshes, at location Y. And if he could possibly, within that period of time, between when he left his Erev and Bein HaShemoshes, he could have gone back to the Mazon Shtei Sudos and have access to the Mazon, then the Erev is meaningful. So we always have to have a possibility, at least in theory, that with the onset of Shabbos, Bein HaShemoshes, he could have access to this Mazon Shtei Sudos. And this is going to be the introduction to our Mishnah, and we'll come back and clarify this as we go through the Mishnah. Nisano Be'ilon Lemala Me'asara Tfachim. The Mishnah now addresses a case where he placed his Eruv on top of a tree. Right, the tree is made up of roots, a trunk that continues all the way up until the foliage on top. So somewhere on top of the tree, which is called a mala, he left his Eruv. We'll have a similar discussion about a bar, which is subterranean. So the Mishnah says it all depends. How high up is that point where he left his Eruv on the tree? How far from the ground is it in height? If it's Lamala Me'asara Tfachim, then Ein Eruvo Eruv. Why? Because at Bein HaShemoshes, as the Gemara is going to clarify, he would not be able to have access to his Eruv because it's above 10 Tfachim. And the Gemara is going to go through a whole analysis. Is this a Rishus HaRabim? Is a Rishus HaYochid? What's the status above 10 Tfachim? However, Lamata Me'asar Tfachim, if let's say, although he left it on top of the trunk of the tree, but the tree at some point branches out in two different directions, and there's a flat surface before it branches out, if that flat surface is below Asarat Tfachim, then Eruvo Eruv. So everything depends in terms of the validity of his Eruv on whether or not he left the Eruv above 10 Tfachim on the tree or below. Nisano Bibbar, if he put the Eruv deep down into a pit, then Afilu Amok Mea Ama Eruvo Eruv. No matter how deep this pit is, the Eruv is valid. And that too is going to be a sugya in the Gemara. I just want to quote to you, you know, I'm an old timer. The old timers used to learn Mishnayos with the Bar Tanura. Today it's almost unheard of. So just to quote to you one line from the Bar Tanura on this Mishnah, he says, Midubar. The case here is Sheskaven Lishvos Bibika Obisode. His intention was to be Kovea his Shvisa, his Makom Shvisa, in an area of open fields or a valley. Shehain Karmelis. Viniach Eruvo Bibar Shesham Hu Rishus Hayochit. Okay, so again, the Bar Tanura is obviously aware of sugyas later on that we're not aware of. And the Pella here is that if the principle of Eruv is that Eruv is only valid if he could have access to the Eruv, then if he is located in a Karmelis and the Eruv is in a Rishus HaYachid, so he wants to be Kovei Shvisa in a Bikar Sadeh, and now he sets up his Eruv in a bar that has the status of Rishus HaYachid, which means that it's 4 Tfachim wide and 10 Tfachim deep, then we have to figure out how the Mishnah could say Eruvo Eruv. Alright, we're about to start the Sugya, the Gemara. You know, until now, we've been learning a lot of different issues that are klal shas, you know, more universal, you know, different issues about the last sugya we had with shlichus. We had sugyas in Zroim. We spoke about whether the Mosen Shtei Sudos is roy for him or it's roy for someone else. I mean, this was all like a lot of fun. Now we get into Erev, you know. We got to remember that we're learning Masecht Erev. So this is a jolting reminder. And it comes on a Thursday, which is hard for me, you know. The end of an exhausting week. In any event, there are three paragraphs here of introduction to our sugya. I'll read them to you. We're pretty much familiar with them, but it always pays to review the basics. I don't like to assume anything about Rishu Yosef Shabbos. If we have a place, this is the first introduction, that is 4x4 tfachim in its width. Like, for example, on the top of a pillar, if the pillar is wide, 4 tfachim square, or even on the trunk of a tree, on the flat part of the tree before the branches, it could have a width of 4 tfachim square. In such a case, if you have 10 tfachim in height, it is a rishus hayochid. If it's 3 tfachim above the ground, up to 9 tfachim, 9.9 tfachim, then it's called a karmelis. And although on a Doraisa level it's called a makom ptur, and you'd be allowed to carry there, the Rabbanon prohibited it as a karmelis. So you would not be allowed to put something onto this area that is 4x4 tfachim in width and is somewhere between 3 tfachim and 9 tfachim in height, whether or not you're standing in a Rishus HaYochid and placing it down on this area, or you're in a Rishus HaRabim placing it down, it matters not, because in both cases you are carrying from a Rishus HaYochid or from a Rishus HaRabim into a karmelis, and that's prohibited. Now we get down below 3 tfachim. If the area is below 3 tfachim, or alternatively, it's an area that is less than 4 by 4 tefachim in width, then it's called a makom p'tur. So wait a second, let me just correct what I said. Sorry. Scratch what I said before. We're talking about an area that is 3 tefachim in height, anywhere between 3 tefachim in height and less than 10 tefachim. If it has the width, as we said, of 4 by 4, then it's called a karmelis. If it has less of a width than 4 by 4, that's called a makom p'tur. Okay. Now, in the light of these three definitions, definition number one is that it has rochav arba larba and it's 10 tefachim in height, which gives it the status of Rishus HaYochid. If it's less than 10 tefachim in height and it has the rochav of arba larba, then it's a karmelis. If it's less than 10 tefachim in height and it has less than a rochav of arbar ama, it's a makom p'tur. And all these dinim apply in a case of, let's say, a pillar that is in a rishus harabim, and we'll see soon, even if it's in a karmelis, we could have the same pillar and the same three definitions in a Rishus HaYochid. Here's where the difference lies. If the Amud, if this pillar in all those three scenarios is in a Rishus HaRabim, then everything we said applies. However, if this pillar is in a Rishus HaYochid, then we have a principle called Rishus HaYochid Ole Ad L'Rakia, which means that the area or the airspace in Rishus HaYochid continues climbing ad infinitum. In the case, however, of the Avir of Rishus HaRabim, that only goes up to 10 Tfachim. So now we ask ourselves, in our case of a pillar, and we said that if it has the height of Asorat Tfachim, and it has the width of 4 square Tfachim, then we said it has the status of Rishus HaYochid. Now that will apply in a case of an Amud in Rishus HaRab, because since Rishus HaRab only goes up to 10 Tfachim, then clearly once we climb above 10 Tfachim, we're no longer in Rishus HaRabim, so we're going to call this Amud of Rishus HaYochid, because it's got the height that's necessary, the 10 tefachim, and the width that's necessary of 4 tefachim. However, if this Amud is in Rishus HaYochid, then once you hit 10 tefachim, then it's irrelevant. And in fact, even below 10 tefachim should be irrelevant if you have a width of 4 tefachim. So let's say we said that the Amud, if it's between 3 tefachim in height, I'm saying it's between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim, and it has the width of 4 tefachim square, then it's a karmelis. That makes sense if the Amud is in a Rishus HaRabim. So the Avir Rishus HaRabim goes all the way up to 10 tefachim. Correct? So I'm going to ask myself a question here. Why is it a karmelis? Leave that question for a moment. But if that same Amud that is between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim height, and it's got 4 square tefachim in width is in a Rishus HaYachid, then it's a Rishus HaYachid. It's not a Carmelis. Because in the case of Rishus HaYachid, there's no difference between less than 10 tefachim and more than tefachim. The entire area is considered a Rishus HaYachid. So let me again, just before we start the sugya, just to make sure we have these halachas. Number one, makom sherechavo arval arba tefachim. All right, so you've got this pillar, and the pillar has a width of 4 square tefachim. If it has the height of 10 tefachim, it's a Rishus HaYachid. If it's less than 10 tefachim, then it's a Carmelis. I'm trying to figure out, I'm assuming that we're talking about an Amud. Just 1 second. See, again, this is the point that I'm trying to figure out. If it has the width of 4 tefachim wide, then it's a Carmelis. If, on the other hand, it's less than 4 tefachim, it's a makom ptur. But that only makes sense if it's an amud that's in a Rishus HaRabim. So if it's in a Rishus HaRabim, and it's above 3 tefachim, then it becomes a Carmelis. Why is it a Carmelis? So I can't figure that out. Again, if it's less than Arba Tefachim, it's a Makom Ptur. If it has the width of 4 Tefachim, and it's below 10 Tefachim, then it's a Carmelis. I'm sorry, I just that one point I can't... I'm just going to make a note of it. I have to come back to this. Okay, now let's say the Amud is in a Rishus HaYachid. Then, as long as it has the width of 4 tefachim square, then it remains a Rishus HaYachid. And again, let's reiterate that the Avir Rishus HaRabim is only up to 10 tefachim. Above 10 tefachim, the Avir Rishus HaRabim is a Makom Ptur, but Rishus HaYachid is Olad L'Rakia. Okay, let's see, even though we're missing one piece of the puzzle, let's see if we can make some sense out of the sugya. Yosef, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, V'Rav Asi, V'Rava bar Nosi, Yosef, V'Rav Nachman Gabayu, V'Yasvi, V'Ka'omri. So in other words, Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Asi and Rav bar Nosan are all sitting around in the presence of Rav Nachman, and they're asking a kasha on our Mishnah. How do we understand our Mishnah? Hi Elon, this tree upon which he put down his Eruv, and we said that if he left it on the part of the tree that's above Asar Tefachim, the Erev is invalid. If it's below 10 Tefachim, the Erev is valid. Dekai Hecha, where is this tree? Ilema Dekai Bershus HaYachid. If this Elon is within the Mechitzos of Rishus HaYachid, and now this person wants to be Konesh Visa on the ground, he leaves his Eruv on top of Asorat Fochim, is Mali Lamala, Mali Lamata, Rishus HaYachid Ola Ad L'Rakia. What exactly is bothering the Gemara? It shouldn't make any difference whether or not the Ilan is Lamala Me'asara or it's Lamata Me'asara, since Rishus HaYochid is Ola Adler Akia. Now let's assume that the tree has the width of 4 Tfachim. Okay, fine. It's got a width of 4 tefachim. And then Lamala Me'asara, it's a Rishus HaYochid. So the Gemara seems to be assuming that it has the status of Rishus HaYochid even below Asara tefachim. Why? Because since the Ilan is situated in a Rishus HaYochid, right, the base of the tree is in Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaYochid is Ola Adler Akia. And therefore, it makes no difference whether it's below Asar Tfachim in height or above Asar Tfachim. The Gemara thinks that what? That the Erev should be valid. Just one second. What is the Gemara thinking? That the Erev should be valid or invalid? Let's just see. He wants to be Konesh Shvisa on the ground. The ground is Rishus HaYochid, let's assume. And he placed his Erev on the tree. So that if we assume the tree is Rishus HaYochid, and his feet are grounded in Rishus HaYochid, he has free, halachically free access to the Eruv, and therefore the Eruv should be valid. And it matters not whether or not the Eruv was left Lamata Me'asara or Lamala Me'asara. Because the Gemara thinks that
it's all Rishus HaYochid, it doesn't make any
difference. It's all Rishus HaYochid. But I think the emphasis here in the Gemara is, why do you tell me that if it's above 10 Tfachim, then the Erev is invalid, because since Rishus HaYochid is Ola Adler Akia, then even if he would place his Erev high up, it still is in Rishus HaYochid. And Rishus HaYochid doesn't terminate at the height of Asar Tfachim. So if he's in a Rishus HaYochid, his Erev is in Rishus HaYochid, why do you disqualify the Erev? That's what I think is going on.
He's making a statement that all this cannot refer to Rishus HaYochid.
Correct.
Because it makes no difference where in Rishus HaYochid.
Excellent.
So it has to be Rishus HaYochid.
So now we have the fallback position, that by process of elimination, Dekoy, where is this Ilan? Rishus HaRab. And with regard to Rishus HaRab, we say that Rishus HaRab is not Ola Adler Ki, it only goes up 10 Tfachi. Okay. Now let's see if we could make any sense out of the Mishnah's distinction, validating the Erev if it was placed below Asar Tfachim, but invalidating the Erev if it's above Tfachim. So now the Gemara asks another question to work out the scenario of the Mishnah. Diniskaven Lishbos Hecha. So where did he intend to be Konesh Shvisa? I lema diniskaven Lishbos Lamala. If his intention was that he wants to be Konesh Shvisa on the top of the tree above, so then why is the Eruv disqualified? His Makom Shvisa is exactly where the Eruv is. If the Eruv is above 10 Tfachim and he wanted to be Konesh Shvisa above 10 Tfachim, Harehu Veiruvo B'Makom Echadu. He has perfect access to his Erev. Why does the Mishnah say Lamala Me'asara Ein Eruvo Erev? Ela Sheniskavim Lishbos Lamala. Lamato, excuse me. Where is he interested in being Kona Shvisa? And again, now we're talking about a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, right? We've excluded the possibility that the Elon is in Rosh Hashanah Yochid with a Hekif Mechitzos, but rather the Elon is in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So he now wants to be a Kona Shvisa. Where? Lamata, on the ground, so to speak, of Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. And that's where his kavan is to be shoves. That's where he's shoves. Now, what's the deal with the Elon? Oh, so we're going to have to assume the following. He says that the Elon is Rochav Arba Tfachim, and Lemala Me'asara, it's no longer a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, because again, Rosh Hashanah Rabbin is only up to Asara Tfachim. So what's the status of a pillar? I mean, the tree is basically a pillar that climbs up from Rosh Hashanah Rabbin 10 tfachim and has a rochav of dalet al dalet tfachim. It is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So now we understand that the Eruv is outside of his limits. Why? Because as far as his kinyan shvisa, he wants to be Kona Shvisa in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. The Eruv was placed L'malam E'asorah B'mokum Rochav Dalet, which is Rosh Hashanah Yochid. He doesn't have any legal halachic permission to take the Eruv to his place of Shvisa, because in doing so he would be carrying from a Rosh Hashanah Yochid into Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. And therefore the Eruv is invalid. Masha Enkein, if he places the Eruv on the tree below Asar Tvachim, in a place where the Eruv is not considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Again, the whole problem of Alamei Asara is that the tree becomes Rosh Hashanah Yochid and he's being Kona Shvisa in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. But now we're saying that if it's Lamata Me'asara, that's not considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And therefore, the Torah doesn't prohibit it from taking the Eruv from a tree which is below Asara Tvachim out to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Because below Asara Tvachim, it's basically Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Now, all this is on a Doraisa level. And let me read to you a summary of Rashi. He says, V'afal gav to be ofen ze mokom ha'erv hu karmelis, shekol mokom gavoa mishlosha teisha v'rochav arba hu karmelis. Again, that's a sugya that we have to learn, that from Gimel Tfachim height up to, but below 10 Tfachim, in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, if it has the width of Arba Tfachim, that's called a Karmel, which is also the Rabbanon. And therefore, he's not allowed to take the Eruv from a Karmel out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So how could the Mishnah qualify his Eruv, validate his Eruv? Mikol makom ha'eruv chal, kimavur lahalon, now, we've already mentioned Rebbe, that the Erev depends upon the moment of Bein HaShemoshos, and there are no Shvusim of Shabbos Bein HaShemoshos. So again, if we combine those two premises, we begin to understand that even if this Amud, which is called an Elon, is Gavoa Gimel Tfachim, less than 10 tfachim high, with a width of 4 tfachim, which makes it into a karmelis, how then is his Eruv going to be valid when he has no access to take the Eruv from a karmelis into the place where he wants to be Kona Shvisa in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin? We don't carry from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So Rashi says, because we're dealing with the sheet of Rebbe, and there's no gzeir of karmelis bein hashmashos, and therefore, at that critical moment of bein hashmashos, he actually does have access to his eruv. So Gemara is not happy. Frag the Gemara, v'ha'komish tamish be'ilon. We have a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Beitza that Midrabbanan, you're not allowed to climb up on a tree on Shabbos. And not only that, you're not allowed to have any use or any benefit from a tree on Shabbos. We're always afraid that he might come to violate the Issa Tlisha and cut off something from the branches of Shabbos. And if that be the case, on Bein HaShmoshos, he will not be allowed to have access to his Eruv. And the reason for that is, the Eruv is being held up, carried by the Elon. And the Eruv, therefore, is not in a place where he can have access to it in his Makom Shvisa, because then he would be benefiting from the Elon. And the Gemara answers, Li'olam, you'll ask me, he's not allowed to enjoy the benefit of the Elon Rebihi. The Omar called Dovar Shehu Mishum Shvus Lo Gozru Olav Bein HaShmoshos. So the Iser of benefiting from an Elon, which is a Shvus, is not applicable Bein HaShmoshos. And that's the critical moment in which we determine whether the Erev is valid or not. And that depends on whether he has access to the Eruv. Could he take the Eruv off the tree and be Kona Shvis in the Rosh Hasharab? The answer is yes. He's being Nene from the tree. It's only Bein HaShmoshos. And we hold like Rebbe now. And therefore, his Seuda of Mazon Shtei Seudos is called a Seuda Ruya. He can have access to that Seuda at the point of Bein HaShmoshos. And therefore, the Eruv is Chal. And it's irrelevant to us if during the course of Shabbos he would not be allowed, he would be enjoined from getting access to the Erev because of the benefit he got from the tree. That's irrelevant, because once the Erev is Chal Bein HaShmoshos, that sets up his Tchum Shabbos for the balance of Shabbos. So
even
this...
Even though he can't eat it.
Right. Can he eat it Bein HaShmoshos? That's all that interests us. It's kind of like the flip side of Muksa. You know, if something is unsuitable at the point of Bein HaShmoshos, even if it becomes suitable during Shabbos, it's Muksa for the entire Shabbos, if you hold Migu Diskatsoi. Here it works in the opposite direction, that if the Erev is valid and he had access at the moment of Bein HaShmoshos, that Erev is Konesh Visa for him, for an extra Elpayim Amo, for the entire Shabbos, and it's irrelevant what happens after Bein HaShmoshos. And Rashi has already employed this attributing of our Mishnah to Rebbe in a different context. Not in the context of the Shvus of enjoying the benefit of the tree, but in the context of the Shvus of Carmelis. Because if this Elon has Rochav of Arba Tfochim, then it becomes a Carmelis between the third Tefach and the tenth Tefach, anything there in the middle. And Rashi says, don't be bothered by Carmelis because we're going like Rebbe and we're talking Bein HaShmoshos. Amalahu Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman is overhearing this whole pilpul amongst Rav Chia and Rav Asi, Rava. And he says, Yishar. Yashar Koyach. You know, everything you said is on the mark. V'chein Omer Shmuel. And this is what I heard, says Rav Nachman from Shmuel. And this is the correct interpretation of our Mishnah. Amru Lei, so the Chachamim turn to Rav Nachman and they say, Pasrisu ba kule hai. Meaning, have you, Rav Nachman, together with Shmuel before you, gone through this Mishnah so carefully, kule hai, that everything in the Mishnah fits into place? You know, you feel comfortable with your interpretation of the Mishnah. So Gemara says that inu nami hachi ka pasri be, and just like you, Rav Nachman, based on Shmuel, have accepted this interpretation, is we also accepted this interpretation. So what's bothering the Gemara here? Okay, let me just read to you the summary here. Of this question of the Gemara. If I could just get the right page, I'll be okay. He says the following. That Rav Nachman says to these Chachamim, Yishar, correct, and so said Shmuel. Amrulei, the rabbi said to Rav Nachman, did you now analyze this Mishnah so thoroughly? He says that the Chachamim were amazed that Rav Nachman had done such a thorough, in-depth analysis and examination of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, why are they asking such a question? Why are they amazed at Rav Nachman when they too had subjected the Mishnah to this vigorous analysis? Elohachi Amrule. That was not their comment. Meaning that it wasn't that they expressed their amazement that Rav Nachman and Shmuel had analyzed this Mishnah so carefully, but rather, Kav Isu Le B'Gemara. Did you establish it in the Gemara? Omar Lehu In. Did you incorporate this interpretation as the final meaning? The word Gemara here is not a written text, as we're familiar with it, but Parle Misora, the oral transmission of the tradition of the Torah from one generation to the other. Amale In. So they weren't amazed at the fact that Rav Nachman and before him Shmuel came up with this interpretation of the Mishnah. They were really asking a question as to how far were you, to what extent were you and Shmuel before you convinced that this is the correct interpretation of the Mishnah? Did you go as far as to be koveyat as part of the Gemara, as part of the official tradition, the oral tradition that has to be transmitted from one generation to the other? And he said yes. Itmar Nami, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, Hocha B'ilana Omer B'Shusarav Maskinon, Gavoa Asora, V'Rochav Arba, V'Nizkaven Lishbos Lemata, so he wanted to be koveya Shvisa in the Rishus HaRabim. He's benefiting from the Elon, V'Rebihi, Kol Dover Shehu Mishum Shvus, is lo gazru olav bein hashmoshes. Omar Rava. Now Rava comes to qualify the Mishnah. Lo shanu, when does this Mishnah apply? That if the Eruv was set up above 10 tfachim on the Elon, it's invalid. Ela be'ilon ha'omed chutz li'ibura shel ir. We're talking about a tree that stands beyond the outskirts, the outer boundaries of the city. Okay then. Let's say it's... he says that the city goes as far as 70 and 2/3 amos beyond the walls. And that's called the extension of the city. And this Elon is beyond that point. So it's more than 70 and 2/3 amos beyond the city limits. Aval Elona Omid Besoch Ibura Shal Ir. The law will change in a case of a tree that is within the outskirts of the city. Okay, there are a lot of conditions here, but let's just get the general pshat here. He says, Aval amala me'asora. If what? The Elon is omed besoch ibura shal'ir. Is then afilu amala me'asora hareza eruv. Within the outskirts of the city It doesn't matter one iota where he placed the Eruv, and even if he placed it above Asura, the Eruv is valid. Why? Demasa keman demalyadon. That we consider the entire city as one area. It's one continuous area. He writes here, it's as if it was filled with dirt to the top of the walls which enclose it, thereby rendering the entire city and its outskirts, which outskirts I think he means the 70 and two-thirds Amma, as a single area, and it's all higher than 10 Tfachim, and it's all one Rishus HaYachid. So why is the Eruv valid? Because no matter where he is, and where he wants to be Kona Shvisa, he's always in a Rishus HaYachid. So we said that the problem with Lamala Me'asara is that what? That he wants to be Kona Shvisa in a Rishus HaRabim, he cannot have access to this Eruv, which is above 10 Tfachim in a Rishus HaRabim. Because in that case, the Elon itself is a Rishus HaYachid because it has both the height of 10 Tfachim and the width of 4 Tfachim. But if the entire city is considered one continuous Rishus HaYachid, then there's no problem of Lamala Me'asara, because Lamala Me'asara is what? It's a Rishus HaYachid, so what? He wants to be Kona Shvisa in a Rishus HaYachid. Now, I don't understand what the Gemara means here. If the Gemara is saying that the entire city is Keman Demalyadomi, and it's all one single Rishus HaYachid, so why do we need an Eruv at all? I guess he's saying that the whole institution of an Eruv is only some sort of Derabbanan, because maybe you'll think it's Rishus HaRabim. He says, the tree, since it's within the city limits, and the entire city is considered one Rishus HaYachid, so it's as if the Bala Eruv wanted to be Kovea Suda, Kovea Shvisa, I should say, above 10 Tfachim, which is the place of his Eruv.
He wanted to go 2,000 Amos outside the city. At the moment, he only has 70. So if he puts the Eruv in a tree that's right at the outskirts of the city, right at the before the Gvul, then he can go 2,000 more Amos. That's why you need the Eruv. But since it's a Rishus HaYachid, you can have even Lamalami a Sarat Tvachim.
Right. So again, so since it's within the city limits, and we view the whole city as Rishus HaYachid, therefore there's no problem if the Eruv is above 10 Tfachim, which we said makes it into a Rishus HaYachid, so what? I mean, he wants to be Kona Shvisa in a Rishus HaYachid, so he has access to the Eruv. But he writes the following, and again he's quoting Rashi, that this leniency pertains only to validate the Eruv. It does not allow him actually to remove the Eruv from the tree, since in fact he is located in a Rishus HaRabim and his Eruv is in the Rishus HaYachid. Again, he's in a Rishus HaRabim. And he has this tree, which is now 10 Tvachim high, 4 Tvachim wide, and therefore the top of the tree is considered a Rishus HaYachid. And he wants to have access to the Mazon, right, which is now in a Rishus HaYachid, and he's located in Rishus HaRab. So therefore he cannot remove the Eruv from the tree. So that this halacha that Rava is formulating that in the case of Toch Iburo, it's Keman Demalyadomi, that's only as far as the laws of Erevin are concerned. Now, what does it mean? We're going to have a kula in Erevin, and we consider the entire city, which is betoch ibura shel ir, as if it's all a rishus hayachid, so that even though the Erev is the Mazon is located in a rishus hayachid, and he's in a rishus harabim, he wants to be kodesh vis in rishus harabim. But as far as Hilchas Erevin is concerned, we're going to consider the entire city as one long continuous rishus hayachid, and therefore the fact that the Erev was left above 10 tfachim on this Elon in what is a rishus hayachid, that doesn't bother me. So again, if not for this kula, which Rava is formulating, we would have gone back to the Ikar Adin. We would have said that certainly the Erev above 10 tfachim is invalid because he has no leniency, has no permissibility to remove the Erev from the tree because he himself is located in Rishus HaRab. We're going to consider it as far as Erevin is concerned, and imagine it as if he is in a Rishus HaYochid. The Erev now above 10 Tfachim is also in a Rishus HaYochid. But still we have to know that although this is a Kula in Erevin, that we're going to be Machshir and Erev Tchumin as if he had an Erev in the same Rishus that he's being Konesh Visa in, because he's being Konesh Visa in Rishus HaYochid because of this din of Keman Demalia Dami. But you have to know Halacha L'maisa, that forgetting about this Kula and Hilchas Erevin, as far as Hotzah is concerned, he would be in effect carrying his Erev from a Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRab, because that area where he's standing is a Rishus HaRab. We have a new din in Erev that defines that entire city as a Rishus HaYochid, but only as far as Erevin is concerned, meaning to be Kovea, the Tchum, which allows him to carry something, or walk at least, you know, a certain amount of area, 2,000 Amma, etc., etc. Here we're going to consider it as if Hu Beiruvo B'Makom Echad, as if he and his Erev are in the same Rishus, meaning a Rishus HaYochid. And that's because in Hilchas Tchumen, we're going to consider the entire city as one entity of Tchum. And therefore, for Erev Tchumen, we're going to consider as if both the Erev and he, in terms of the Makom that he wants to be Koveh Shvisa, is the whole gamut is one Rishus HaYochid, and it's Hu Veiruvo B'Makom Echad. The Gemara says, Ihachi, if this be the case, is chutzli bura shel ir nami, even if the tree is located beyond the outskirts of the city, it should also be valid. Why is that? Kevan di Omar Rava, we have another statement of Rava, hanosein eruvo yeshlo arba amos, is havile rishus hayochid. So wherever a person places his Eruv, we always give him 4 amos of a radius. That's up front. That's beyond. That's in addition to the 2,000 amos. So if that be the case, then when, let's say, you're setting up an Eruv, right, and you want to allow yourself 2,000 amos outside the city limits, then we're going to give you not only 2,000 amos, we're going to give you 2,004 amos. We're going to give you gratis a gift of 4 amos, Rava says. Because that's considered one area. So now we're going to ask for an area beyond the city. Then we're going to attach 4 amos to the city, extend the city for 4 amos, and then start calculating 2,000 amos. Therefore, Rava, if your logic is that because the Eruv and the Elon, which is holding up the Erev, is within the city limits, it's all part of one tchum of a city, therefore, we assume that you are in that city, and your Erev is in the city, it's all one Rishus HaYachid, then we should extend that even beyond the outskirts of the city for a distance of 4 amos. And now the Gemara adds another comment here that Rishus HaYachid Ola Ad L'Rakia. He writes here that hence, even if he placed his Erev above 10 Tfachim, he's regarded as occupying the same domain with his Erev, so he's considered to be in the same Rishus as his Erev. And now we're saying that, at least as far as Tchumen are concerned, the Erev is considered accessible, and it matters not how high up he places his Erev on the Elon, because again, the Elon is still within that city, that Kimandiv Malyadomi, as we said before, and that means it's in the extended Rishus HaYochid. He himself is also considered to be in Rishus HaYochid, and as far as Erevin is concerned, he was Koveh HaShvisa in Rishus HaYochid. Omar Ab Yitzchak Bereid Rav Mesharshia, this will finish it up here. Hacha b'ilon anotech chutz li'arba amos askinon. Now he's talking about the top of the tree itself. And he says that the top of the tree extends beyond 4 amos. So that makes sense, right? You have the trunk of the tree, and now you have the foliage of the tree with the branches of the tree. That all extends more than 4 amos from the trunk of the tree. And here on the top of Lamed Gimel, v'niskavein lishbos b'ikaro. And he wanted to be koveh shvisa at the base of the tree. And since the Erev rests beyond 4 amos from the base of the tree, then he has to bring the Erev into his 4 amos. Now, taking the Erev from the tree necessitates a transfer from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabin, because the tree we said above 10 Tfachim is Rishus HaYochid. The ground on which he's standing is a Rishus HaRabin. So, therefore, this is prohibited, and that's the first case of our Mishnah. However, if the Erev rests in the tree between 3 and 10 Tfachim from the ground, it can be removed from the tree, because the area from 3 to 10 Tfachim above the Rishus HaRabin, if it's got the width of 4 Tfachim, is called a Karmelis, and to transfer an object from a Karmelis to Rishus HaRabin is only Asur Midrabanan, which according to Rebbe is not Asur Ben Hashmashos. So subsequently, it can be transported through the Rishus HaRabin to the place where he's Koveh Shvisa at the base of the tree, and in such a case, he has not violated any Do'oraisa. So again, if the Erev is beyond 4 amos from the base of the tree, then we're going to apply the principle of the Mishnah, and that is that he would have to be taking the Erev now from a Rishus HaYochid, again if the tree is at a height of 10 Tfachim, into the ground below, which is a Rishus HaRab. That's the first case of the Mishnah which disqualifies the Erev, because the Erev is more than 4 amos away from the base of the tree. If, on the other hand, we're talking not about 10 Tfachim, but rather between 3 and 10 Tfachim, then as we said before, the Erev is now located in a Karmelis, and therefore it's not considered a Rishus HaYochid, which would make it impossible for him to take it from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabin, but rather it's in a Karmelis, and we're going like Rebbe, who says that the status of an Erev Tchumen on Ben HaShmashos is to be defined on a Doraisa level, and here, on a Doraisa level, since it is in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't have the status of Rishus HaYochid. So on a Doraisa level, from 3 to 10 Tfachim, he would have access to his Eruv, and therefore the Mishnah validates the Eruv. So let's just make a note of where we're stopping here. We're on top of Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph, and we're on the top line, Umay Lamala, Umay Lamata. Okay then? So notice that on the top of Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph, it says Umay Lamala, Umay Lamata. That's again where we hope to pick it up, Mirtz Hashem, on Yom Rishon.